friends, and welcome back to your weekly Linux talk show. My name is Chris.
My name is Wes.
And my name is Brent.
Hello, Brentley. Hello, Wes. Well, today on the show, we are live at Linux Fest Northwest. We'll tell you about our experiences. We'll share some stories. We'll talk to some guests. We'll do some trivia and a lot more. But before we go any further, I want to say hello to our live in-person lug. Hello, everybody at Linux Fest Northwest. Thank you for being here. We got a good crowd, and we got a lot to get into. So let me start by saying good morning to our friends at Tailscale. Tailscale.com/unplugged. The easiest way to connect devices wherever they are. Let me tell you, wherever they are. We have in the room right now created our own isolated LAN, and I was able to pick up the gear from the studio, which talks to the tailnet IPs of everything. We set it all down in here, and once we got the LAN online, everything started talking. Even my Steam Deck, which I use to like trigger the soundboard, everything just started talking. It doesn't matter that we yesterday were in the RV and today we're in a classroom. Tailscale works everywhere. And we're bridging off of Wi-Fi. It creates a flat mesh network protected by
Wi-Fi.
That's right. And if you go to tailscale.com/unplugged, you can get it for free up to 100 devices and 3 users. That's not a trial, no credit card required. That is the plan. Thousands of companies and thousands of listeners use it. It's privacy for everyone and every single organization. And if you haven't tried it out yet, there's probably something wrong with you. So go fix it. Tailscale.com/unplugged. I think I want to start the show right off the top by saying thank you, everybody who helped us get these headsets. We've been loving them. They worked out really great.
Big upgrade,
and it's so nice for us to have room. I can reach across and hit the boys now, and I don't have to worry about the microphone stand in the way, which was super annoying.
You know, I'm excited. We got to drive up here, right, because it's kind of our local fest, but I'm excited for more on the road because more so than anything else, those microphone stands is always what gets me flagged by the TSA. So I think the headsets will be a little smoother.
That is true. Yeah, they're always wondering why these are in our bag. So yesterday we did the live event, which we will have linked in the show notes, and it's also at extras.show if you just want to catch the highlights from day one of Linux Fest Northwest. We did that from Lady Jupes. Worked awesome, running off solar. We had people swing by, and I think maybe we start there. Yesterday it felt really busy. Raise your hands. Did yesterday feel busy to you? Yay, nay? Yeah, pretty busy. Yeah, pretty much.
Everyone's raising their hand, it looks like.
I was surprised. And I think, you know, obviously in part the good weather helps. It's been beautiful and it's just right. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. But when we finished our live stream yesterday, I step out the door of the RV and the grass is just full of people because we're next to like a nice kind of grassy area. And everybody's out there eating cookies and sandwiches. And Emma from System 76 and my wife Adia went out and got like over 100 sandwiches from a local Bellingham sandwich shop, brought them back, and then got a bunch of cookies and beverages and stuff like that. And it was really low-key and easy. Maybe not quite as fancy as a barbecue, way less work for us, which was really nice. And then I just got to enjoy a sandwich after the show, which was a nice twist. And, you know, for us, the first day, we didn't really make it beyond just the socialization stuff.
Hardly, yeah. I mean, Brent, we just sent Brent in to try to even get into some of the talks, and he could hardly get in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really even make it in. I got it to like the central courtyard and got stopped by a bunch of our lovely listeners. So thank you for stopping me. And we got some on-site interviews. And then I had to use Jeff to like plow through people to get me into Carl's talk about System 76's Cosmic Release. And it was so packed that we only had like the 2 feet past the door. And I was like, there's no way.
Next year, we should be back in the bigger space. So that will be, we'll have the new building again. And this is the 25th year, so it's also kind of a special year. It's the 25th year of Linux Fest, and they tried to acknowledge some of the original creators of Linux Fest last night at the end of the fest, and they had special tie-dye uniforms on for all the original creators walking around. That was really cool. And I don't know if any of you caught this, but when Hadia, my wife, and Emma from System 76 went out to get sandwiches yesterday, they also randomly picked up a birthday cake. Wasn't anybody's birthday, but they thought, you know, in an event this big,
you never know.
It's probably going to be somebody's birthday.
Statistically, yeah, we talk about math a lot.
We talk about math all the time, yeah, the birthday parents.
And that's a pre-show reference. So they bought this birthday cake, and then they went around, and I think they found somebody, it was their 21st birthday, right?
Yeah.
And they were just floored that somebody had a birthday cake for them. Like, what? Really? Made their day. They're here at Linux Fest, and somebody's like, happy birthday, here's a birthday cake. What? So that was pretty neat. And sort of, I think this year's felt kind of the most fun, in a way.
It feels, I think, the closest to sort of the pre-COVID energy. You know, like the fest you remember before all of the trials and tribulations and building and timing changes and all the hard work and years of effort now to get to where we are today. It finally feels a little bit like it did when I first showed up in, like, I don't know, 2010.
Yeah, I agree. What did you think about not having a booth this year?
That was a bit different. I think, well, we didn't get inside as much, so that was the downside. But the plus side is, I think it did give us, maybe it didn't show in how long it took us to get going today, but it did give us a little more time and space to work out some of the kinks in our setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not having, so one of the things when you're in a classroom, we're here for our scheduled set of time. So we have to get in after the last person set up, and then we have to get out before the next person. Thankfully, the next person is you.
That's true.
So
I'll be gracious.
We're going to make that guy wait a little bit. But that is trickier. Whereas when you're in the RV, you can just set up in the morning, and you're set up all day long. And that's super nice. But the downside was is we didn't quite make it in as much. So we'll have to make up for some of that today. But, yeah, I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm ready for it to be over, too, at the same time. Yeah, we stayed out late the last couple of nights, so I'm a little worn down.
Yeah, an excellent post-fest social last night, I think.
Yes, we did. But two nights in a row, I stayed out a little later than I should have. So that means if in the next clip, if I don't seem like I'm on my game, it's totally because I was out partying. We had a listener who's also a host of his own podcast. He'll do his introduction in just a moment. But he's been going around, and he's been doing Linux trivia and scoring people. And the guy does it all in his head. He does the whole scoring and everything in his head as he's going around, and he does the fact checking and the checking. It's pretty fun. And so we had him stop by and quiz Wes and I, because Brent, you already took the test once, crushed it.
Thank you.
Beat everybody until other people played the game.
Mm.
That's why you go first.
Yeah, that's right.
You get the first high score.
So let's see how Wes and I do on our live Linux trivia at Linux Fest Northwest.
Hey, I'm James. I'm here with my show, the Linux Prepper Podcast. I had created a trivia challenge yesterday that almost a ton of people did as singles and as doubles. So I thought, Chris and Wes, you'd do it today and potentially take the leaderboard.
Really embarrass ourselves.
Brent did it yesterday. So the benchmark is to do better than Brent. But I'm going up against some serious heavyweights, aren't we?
I hope you both can do better than just me. Otherwise, we have a real problem on this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you're including the singles and the doubles, then you're further down the list.
Right? You know, I was tied for second when I finished, but then that was early in the day, and a bunch of people came and beat the pants off me. So.
Yes.
And we only just switched you last year, right? So.
All right. Okay. We're ready.
All right. So this is the Do You Know Linux challenge from yesterday. If you want to do the one from today, you can come by the booth and do it, because anyone in the room can do it. It's an open thing, so that's why I'm not going to say that one on the air.
Homework.
All right.
What are the rules?
The rules, yes. So the rules are, I'll give you questions. You can say pass at any time. We will move on. Otherwise, just answer to the best of your ability. And some of the questions are open questions, which means you can just rattle off answers. And usually around 10 seconds, people kind of run out of steam. And if that's the case, I'll give you another question.
Okay.
And at the end of 60 seconds, that's the score you get. So every answer is a point.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah? Okay.
Don't mess it up, boys.
Okay, I'm ready.
Do you mind doing the little timing
thing? Oh, I could do the timing.
This is about Mac OS, right?
Yeah, Mac OS. Get your HFS
ready. Let me know when you want me to start. I'll count down. Here we go. You ready, boys? Everybody's ready?
Ready.
Three, two, one, start.
Who created the Linux kernel?
Linus Torvalds.
Ubuntu is based on?
Debian.
NixOS is considered a what distribution?
Immutable.
The recursive acronym GNU means what?
GNU is not Unix.
How many projects can you name that are maintained by Red Hat?
OpenShift.
Podman.
Project Stellaris. Podman. What else? Fedora, of course.
Sure.
RHEL, of course, obviously.
CentOS
would be another one, of course. Did we say OpenShift? I don't know if we said OpenShift.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Pipewire, maybe?
Pipewire is another one. FWPD, that matter, as well, would be another one. FWPD and all of the services around that as well.
So a bunch of automotive stuff. I'm not quite clear.
You're automotive Linux.
Time here.
Do you want to move on?
Automotive Linux? No, I don't think I'm done yet. the RHEL update server is another project that they maintain, the RHEL satellite server. Okay, now I think I'm done.
5 seconds.
UUtils will replace what?
UUtils?
Zero.
Core utils?
That's it.
Yeah.
U-Utils replaces Core Utils?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the whole trivia?
No.
Oh, okay, okay.
You want to keep? You want to do another minute?
Well, yeah, man.
Wait, what was their score in this minute? Because that's the official
We'll have
score.
To go back and check.
Oh,
there's
okay.
math to do.
I thought there was more. Okay, all right, I'm good to go.
All right, let's do another. I got this. Let's do another minute to finish the questions off.
All right, this is the one where people are just...
No wonder Carl did great.
Yeah.
He's got an index of every Red Hat project in his head.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
How many text editors can you name?
Vi, Vim, Zed.
NeoVim.
Nano.
Mm-hmm. Ed.
Ed, of course.
Micro.
Emacs.
Yep.
Gedit.
Kate. VS Code.
Kwrite.
VS Codium.
VS Codium, sure.
Did you already say Zed?
Mm-hmm. I said Zed.
Yep.
You got any others?
I do, but I'm totally blanking now.
Did we say micro?
There's several. Yeah, we did. There's several REST. What's the Cocoon?
Sure.
You know, there's several REST-based
Cocoon,
ones.
Cocoon, yeah.
Kwrite?
I said Kwrite.
Notepad++, does that count?
Notepad++, you're sure.
You're running under Wine?
Yeah, sure. Oh, well, that's a whole other world, isn't it? Cat?
Yeah, does Bash count? Echo?
Yeah, right. Oh, come on, Wes.
Should we move on?
We're 15 seconds.
Okay, move on.
Okay, AI used to be referred to by what other two-letter acronym?
ML?
Yeah.
Name the current BS. Debian stable.
Say so what?
Name the current Debian stable.
Ooh, stable. Is that Buster?
Bookworm?
No.
Bookworm.
Yes. How many Debian derivatives can you name?
Oh. Is Zorin OS considered a Debian derivative?
I don't know.
Yeah.
LMDE, Ubuntu, like Mint and Java.
Obviously, yeah, yeah. But I was trying to go out on the edge. Zorin OS, I think, might be, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
MX Linux?
Yep, MX Linux. Are we out of time?
Yeah, but okay. Now we're just listing Debian stuff. What's wrong with that? That's half the show anyway.
Yeah, okay. How'd we do?
I lost track on the first one when you were doing it, so you'll have to go back and listen to the clip to see how many you named off, because you were mostly doing the Red Hat projects.
Yeah, okay.
But, so we'll send James an unaltered.
Totally unaltered.
Yeah, you'll have to go unaltered. Because as you can imagine, those guys were going absolutely ham that section.
I bet. If you would have asked them how many projects besides Ubuntu Canonical maintains, I don't think they would have done so well.
Mm-hmm. Maybe next year we get like a question, name Linux podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
I think we do all right with that.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed in our text editor performance.
I am too.
I thought we could have done better there. We didn't even mention the text editor we're using right now to do the show, which seems pretty stupid. It's right in front of our faces.
Yeah, what is that again?
HDocs, of course. We got HDocs, HedgeDocs. There's a lot more we probably could have named.
Maybe folks can boost in.
Yeah, what did we forget?
Contribute to our shame.
I feel like there is a really obvious one that was missing. I almost didn't get Emacs in there, which would have been super embarrassing.
You both didn't mention VS Code.
I did.
And Codium.
Oh, good.
And Codium, right. Yeah. And I did. I went, I feel like it's a little bit on the edge, but I went Vi, Vim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm counting those as separate. You know, they're separate.
You know what? I did the same thing.
That's technically accurate. Yeah, it's technically accurate. So yeah,
you just have a whole class of editors that you can't quit.
That's true. I just get stuck. I just power off the machine. So let us know what
we didn't
missed.
Even say the micro Emacs we tried that Linus has been using.
Oh, yeah. Oh right, we just tried that. You see, I don't test well.
Yeah,
I don't test well. But I do know 1Password.com/unplugged is well. So go to 1Password.com/unplugged. Try it out. If you've got anybody in the audience, if you've got a browser right now, bring it up on your phone or on your. And we want to make sure it loads fast. You go to 1Password.com/unplugged. It's all lowercase, the number 1Password. So this is the beautiful thing about 1Password Extended Access Management. It's the first security solution that brings together unmanaged devices, unmanaged user accounts, contractor accounts, services you use, and brings it all under your control. It assures that every user credential is strong and protected, and every device is known and healthy. So Brent is not going to sneak onto your network. 1Password Extended Access Management solves problems that the IAMs and MDMs just simply are not designed to touch, which is how Brent gets through everything. It's security for the way we actually work today, and it's generally available with companies that have Okta, Microsoft Entrance, and Beta for Google Workspace. So imagine how life changed with a password manager. Now take it to the identity level. That's what Extended Access Manager is doing. And they're award-winning software. They've trusted by millions of users, over 150,000 businesses. IBM, Slack, many others use them. And now they're doing more than just passwords. So go to 1Password.com/unplugged. That's how you support the show. You check them out, see what they got, be impressed with how fast the page loads, and try it out. Secure every app, every device, and every identity, even the unmanaged ones at 1Password.com/unplugged. And a big thank you to 1Password for sponsoring the Unplugged program. That is the number one, password.com/unplugged. Now, we had a chance to chat with a few folks, and whenever we're here live, we like to try to get an opportunity to talk with people live, and we have somebody join us right now. Tell me your name, and remind me what we were going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, my name's Eric.
Hey, Eric. Nice to see you.
Yeah, thanks. Good to see you guys. So this is my first Linux Fest, or really connecting with kind of anyone in this wider community. Before, I guess about a year ago, I kind of started listening to your show and heard about this, but I couldn't make it, you know. But before that, I just felt like I was living in a bubble by myself. Yeah, I did not have anyone to talk to. I don't work in a tech job, you know, and no one wants to talk about this. So, the whole year I've been waiting, like, okay, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be here. And, I saw a couple amazing talks, like stuff using a identity aware reverse proxy. You know, I want to try that. And there was just a really cool talk about cyborg security, which was like out of left field, but so I'm a physician. And I kind of was like, well, this is kind of a off-topic sort of thing, but we got deep in the weeds about like medical device security, something that I'm really passionate about. But once again, I never found anyone that cares, and wound up chasing this person down. And we're chatting for like a half an hour, and just some amazing, amazing conversations. Just connecting with people. There's someone interested in all this stuff, and I'm getting so many new ideas. I just feel like all of a sudden, just it's like mind blown, just kind of like euphoric feeling from being able to talk like this.
You know, that's a super similar experience to the experience I had when I first came to Linux Fest here. The first one I came to was, 2018, I think. And it was for the exact same reason. Like, I loved these topics, open source Linux, all this stuff. Nobody else in my life cared. And you boys convinced me to come all the way over here. I lived like on the other side of the continent. So thank you for doing that. And it was the exact same feeling, like, oh, you come here and all of a sudden you can have very easy conversations with people who like the same stuff you do. Like, what a concept. And it's so rewarding. So for anyone who has never been to a conference like this, is like, we didn't make it to the talks because of exactly what you just said, is like all these great conversations that you have just in the hallway track, as they call it, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That is priceless. And it keeps us going. We get like a boost of energy every time we do these. So, and that's true for everybody here. So,
like, literally every single person I would just bump into, like walk next to or something, would, it's like, hello. And then just immediately we're talking about some super interesting thing. Just not every single person that's here, it's like there's something to talk about.
You know what the biggest challenge is? Like tomorrow when you go home, remembering it all, or all the projects you wanted to try, or the names of like suggestions that you got. So if you figure out that one, you let us know.
All right, we'll do.
Thank you, Eric. It's good to chat with you. Thank you for joining us. All right, we have it. Come on up. Come on down. Do, 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 do. We need some come on down music. We do. All right, come on down.
Yeah, we do. What's going on, soundboard guy?
Oh, I might have something. I'll look for the future. Okay.
Well, we have another guest here.
Hello.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Sean, also known as Senior Smile in all the online places. And I have a call for participation. So last year was the first NixCon USA, and I met a surprisingly large amount of people from the Pacific Northwest, even in the Seattle area, like throwing distance almost. So Planet Nix happened again this year, and I saw some of those same people, and we got talking. We need to keep this going throughout the year. How do we do that? We need a user group, right? So I met a few of those same people yesterday. All right, I need to start getting names. But I need more than six people to have a user group. I mean, I guess maybe not. We could start with just six people. Why not? But
you kind of want to put a call out, see anybody's interested in joining.
This is a call out for participation. So I've done many meetups in the past. I helped start the Ansible meetup and became the sole meetup organizer for that back in 2015. I've done several language meetups because linguistics was actually my major in school, not computer science. There is an official call out on the NixOS forums, discourse.nixos.org. I'll send you guys a link to put in the show notes. Anybody who's interested, go there and just respond. More details will come based on number of people we get. If we get 40 people, that's going to dictate the venue that we need to locate. If we only get 10, that's a little easier venue to find. I suspect there's a lot of us lurking in the Seattle area, and I'm excited to have monthly meetings about all things NixOS because I'm just crazy about it.
Can I ask you, do you have any ideas about, the very first one? Do you have any ideas of what you want to, touch on in the world of NixOS?
I already have a talk. At Planet Nix this year, which happened in, was that late April? Co-located with Scale. I got talking to a couple people about all things security. And there was one guy that's been working on SE Linux. It was sort of abandoned in 2019. And he's just been going hardcore into it. And I forget your name. I also learned that the Harden.nix built-in module that you can import is essentially abandoned. It has all sorts of issues, and it's going to be deprecated in the near future, if my information is correct. So I've been working on a module that's kind of firstly going for all of the NIST qualifications. I'm going to actually also have a test to then test it separately from the NIX configuration itself. But it's going to have so much more than that.
Don't forget to run your test, right?
Yeah, don't forget to run the test. And verify that the test results actually make sense. And yeah,
right. Okay, yeah. So Sean, so you're looking for folks in kind of the West Coast, Pacific Northwest corridor that want to join a Nix lug that would also maybe want to organize around NixCon. Am I following you? And then there's a discourse post people should find. We're going to link. Okay, I just want to make sure we get that out there so it's clear. If you're in this area and that kind of sounds like something you'd be interested in doing.
Yeah, right. So you're not just looking for like longtime Nix folks who can do presentations. You're also looking for Nix curious. Anyone?
Yeah, definitely Nix curious. Or even if this is somehow the first time you're hearing about all this, you're interested in open source and this is your first time listening to this podcast. There's this thing called Nix. It's amazing. It's part of the ecosystem.
We should check it out. That'd be a good idea.
I hear it's especially good for recovering Ansible users. Is that what you said, John?
Nice. I do have another talk. I'm not quite ready to release the actual project. I use Ansible to control a fleet of 50 NixOS servers. I found it better than Colmena and all the other solutions. So it's almost ready, but that'll be a
story
talk
for another time, perhaps.
My security stuff is much further along.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you for putting the call out there. We'll put a link to that.
Now, there's several good incentives already for me to go to this meetup. So I'll see you there, Sean. Thank you for putting that together.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Well, joining us again is a friendly face. Jose, you're here with us again this year. It was a nice surprise.
Yes. We saw back. I'm taking over the Jar Jar personality now. So we saw back here in the Pacific Northwest.
Can you remind everyone where you're coming from?
Yes, we're coming all the way from Puerto Rico. So the nice Caribbean, hot, sun, the beach.
You were just looking for cold weather to go to, right? Is that it?
Well, the weather this year has been incredible. It's been very sunny, blue skies. Where you go, you hear like little birds, the flowers, everything. So it's been incredible comparing to last year where we were like ordering pizzas with pouring rain on top of us and trying to cover the hot dogs with...
Still a good time.
Yeah.
Why come to Linux Fest Northwest? I would imagine there are events a little closer to you.
You think, right? Well, in Puerto Rico, to the best of my knowledge, we don't have any events like this. But at least for me, this is the one that I've always wanted to come. My first time was last year because Linux Unplug and the Jupyter Broadcasting. That's how I started getting into the whole software development business. And every time I was just listening, one day I'll make it there. One day I'll make it there. And then in 2021, I made it to the Denver meetup. And it was
that was incredible. That was I don't think any of us can ever
we talk about that.
That
all the time.
Yeah. That was a really good one. And then I said, and last year I was talking over with the people I work with and my company. I was like, you know what? Let's take a trip up there. And we're all going there. And we liked it. We loved it so much. It was very fun. Even my wife, who she knows a lot about tech because obviously me, and but even she left like, it was really nice, like seeing all these people just come together and volunteer and just like out of their will, just putting this all together, and made us really, really happy. And this year we're back. I brought my best friend over, and we've really been enjoying it. And it's been very, very nice to come back here.
Amazing. And this year you did something a little different. You gave a talk, right?
Yes, I did. I remember last year on this very same podcast, I said, well, and this project will be ready in 2 months. Well, I didn't say which 2 months.
So it sounds like the project you promised you were working on last year when we interviewed you here at Linux Fest Northwest, you have continued to work on, however, maybe was a bit of a bigger adventure than you thought initially.
It was much more of a bigger adventure than I thought, if you want to put it like that.
Can you give us a sense of what it is and what you're working on and where it's at?
Yes. I, in defense of myself, when I got back home, work just swamped me. So I was like, nah, I'm not going to be ready for July. I'm going to take a bit more. And so the project I'm working on is a media center with a backend written Go with Postgres and has a web client and TV clients written with React and React Native. And it's been a passion project of mine. I grew up with my dad. He used to love movies. So we used to have a big rack of movies with like a binder with all the movies categorized and everything. And it was so nice. And I always wanted to do that. And eventually I ended up, like most of us, like trying to sell folks with Jellyfin and Plex. And I love Jellyfin. It's a really nice project. We have a very nice server set up at home. But first off, I wanted to build my own because of a passion project. Plus, I'm a blind person, so accessibility was super important for me. And some of the features that are right now on the market like lack accessibility support for a lot of stuff. To give you an example, if you go into the Jellyfin library where your movies are, if you start like hovering over with the screen reader, all you hear is unlabeled, unlabeled, unlabeled. And I don't know about you, but I don't have that movie in my library, so...
I hear it's coming out in the next year or so.
Yeah, why can't the studios make anything original anymore?
Yeah, so that was my target. And I also wanted to take out... I wanted to work on some features that specifically I want. This one's a bit more like niche, but like for example, I own a lot of Blu-rays. And some of them are in like DTS HD format. And if you play on Plex or Jellyfin on certain televisions and that kind of stuff, they'll just put it down to like a mix it down to like a stereo PCM 2 channels or something like that. And it's very hard for me to say, no, use AAC 5.1 or something like that. That's a bit more. And so I wanted to do that. And so I learned a very hard lesson that that's very difficult to do.
Can I ask you why start your own project instead of contributing to, say, Jellyfin, since you seem to like it for the most part?
Yes, that was a thing I did in my talk yesterday. The first one is because, first off, it's a passion project of mine, so I really want to do it. Like I said, there are certain features that I really want. One of them is... you might have heard, I live in Puerto Rico, and we might be having some technical difficulties with our power grid. And so we lose power quite a bit. And so having something that's super power efficient for me, that only runs the necessary things that I want, is super important for when power goes out and we're on battery power. And I want to make the neighbors jealous and say, I got power and I got TV, and you know God. And so that's very important for me. And... the truth is also, I don't like .NET. I'm sorry, people.
It's a preference?
Yeah, and like I said in my talk, Jellyfin is a great project. I started out like, no, I'm not going to look at anything. I'm going to just build my own. Then 3 bottles of whiskey later and heartaches and everything, I went like, maybe just take a peek at it. Just a little peek. And then I started looking at it. I'm like, oh, this is smart. Nah, I like the way they're doing this, like HLS things and all that kind of stuff. And so I took some inspiration from them because, like I said, they're a great project. But this is like my passion project. This is also something I really want to do. And my dream is one day to buy a house, have my like my own little movie room with my own media center and everything like that. And so passion project, certain technical differences, and yeah, those are the main reasons.
Great. And are you looking for people to contribute at this point?
I would love it. I would love to. I have a GitHub repo, which it's not under the best circumstances right now, but it has the back end and it has the TV client already there. Sorry. And it has the TV client already there. And yes, I would love for people to help me out with certain kind of stuff. One of the biggest challenges, I'm blind. So doing the UI is very difficult, especially for TV clients, because managing focus and all that kind of stuff is really, really hard. And so yeah, I would love for people to contribute. You can go to my website, blindpenguincoder.com, and we have a section there that's just dedicated to this project itself.
Sounds great. Well, thank you, Jose, for giving us a little update.
Yeah.
Great to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, you can tell that this is a wonderful audience because as Jose was talking about, you know, the disclaimers around Git repos, which I say all the time, you know, you could just see the heads nodding.
People yeah,
like,
yeah, that's
no,
true.
We'll get it.
Yeah, that's true.
It all of our true. Things are filled with to-do items, right?
So I'm going to play a chat we had earlier yesterday with Carl Rochelle from System 76. That's coming up next. We also have some feedback we're going to get to. So we still have more. And also, if anybody else has anything they want to jump on and chat with us about, you'll have an opportunity to do it in just a moment. It's sort of last call. And we're going to get to all that in just a moment. But first, I'm going to mention configcat.com/unplug. This episode, and it's our last episode, that is brought to you by ConfigCat. So go check them out while you still can. They're the feature flag service that helps you release features faster and with less risk. I'm trying to convince Wes to do this all the time. And I keep saying, Wes, you got to go to configcat.com/unplug. They got unlimited seats, Wes. They got awesome support, Wes, and a reasonable price tag, Wes.
You don't like it when I just enable surprise features and you have no way to turn them off without modifying the code?
No, I say, Wes, I need it easy to do gradual rollbacks. I want to be able to do A-B testing. I want canary releases, Wes. I want all of that stuff, and I want it from a friendly visual dashboard.
You know, if we had ConfigCat set up with our website, you probably wouldn't have broken it.
That's probably true. I probably would not have broken our website last week. So the nice thing, too, is that the user's data never leaves your system. You go through their security setup. They have a really good explanation on their website. And you can try their forever free plan, but if you decide to do the paid plan, use the promo code UNPLUGGED25ER. That's UNPLUGGED25. I do it in uppercase, so you're just shouting the whole thing. You go to configcat.com/unplugged and use coupon code UNPLUGGED25 to get a little bit of a discount and support the show. That's configcat.com/unplugged. All right, so we had the opportunity to chat with Carl from System 76, and he joins us now. Here we go again, back live Linux Fest Northwest 2025 in a sunny, warm, beautiful Bellingham, Washington. And Wes, we have something very special for the live members.
Oh, yes, we do.
And those of you that are catching on replay, join us right now. It is the CEO of System 76, Mr. Keyboard Warrior himself, Carl Rochelle. Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me. And I have to say, this is my first time in Lady Jupe. It is fantastic. I'm looking out at sunny Bellingham, as you'd said. And,
yep.
I see my kids rolling around the grass, and my 8-year-old daughter is beating up my 11-year-old son.
Sure. That sounds about what my kids are probably doing right now, too.
As it should be.
Yeah. It's wonderful up here.
You know, with the nice thing about Lady Jupe's is you can take a parking lot and make it a camping spot.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
We got here late last night, and I love checking on this right now. We're making 686 watts of solar.
That's fantastic.
Could be a little better.
We're using a fair amount of that, too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's been a lot of interest in our chat room this morning about your Cosmic Talk. I saw Alpha 7 yep. came out recently. So I imagine every time you give this talk, you're probably adding new things, probably covering new stuff, refining a little bit. So what's kind of new in your presentation for Cosmic?
This one was really satisfying because Linux Fest Northwest last year was my first Cosmic Talk. We've been working on it for 2 years. And it was time to get out and start talking about what we had been building. So we came here. This is the first place we did it. Since there, I've toured the world. All over the U.S., I say world, I went to the Netherlands. But
hey, there's an ocean in between, like, yeah, that counts.
That was Ubuntu Summit. But I think it was Scale and Southwest Linux Fest and, I don't know, all over the country, talking about what we've been building with Cosmic. And so this time I got to go all the way around, it's been a year, and go back to the place where we started. So how it changed, throughout the year, I've talked about, here's what Cosmic is, here are the features, here's what makes it unique, tiling and floating and stacks and how it's composable and modular and you can build it to create experiences, all those kind of things. I've talked about it for a year, and so this time we talked about, okay, well, there's kind of a synopsis for, you know, what we've done last year, the big things that we landed in last alpha, and I changed the focus to our app suite.
Oh.
Because the applications for Cosmic have really matured into these like awesome apps, like the file browser, the Cosmic store, text editor, settings are all filled out, or everything you expect for a desktop now. So that was that's how the presentation changed.
Yeah, I've been following it, you know, testing out the alphas here and there, and it feels like you were saying, the applications around it. I saw Files got some nice improvements to the last few releases and this release as well. Accessibility continues to get iterated on, high contrast mode and whatnot. But we had one question.
Yeah, we noticed there was some work optimizing, was it window?
Resizing, yeah, application resizing.
Resizing, yeah. And we wanted to know, how did that come about? Did someone complain? Did you notice on your own system things could just be snappier? Yeah. What's the story?
In the release notes, it says, fixed high CPU usage when resizing application windows. And Wes and I are just sitting here thinking, like, how do you even notice that?
Is there a micro benchmark in place?
Was somebody just, like, staring at system monitor and they were resizing windows? Like, how did this come about?
I think that is a fantastic question, because it illustrates how far we've come. Because the stuff people find is like crazy little cornered weird things. So I think this was a guy who was testing Cosmic, grabbing the corner of a window and flipping it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, while he was watching System Monitor. Why? I have no idea.
That's how he uses the desktop.
That's how we find like the XEvonner bit and things like that, right? Like,
yes. Some of us type LS, does a habit in the terminal. Some people drag the corner.
Yeah, and by doing that over and over again, you can see the CPU usage increase because of how often we're redrawing. And so so we optimized that in Cosmic Comp to clear up that issue. But that's the kind of stuff we're at now. We've done, like, the big offenders for optimization have been pretty much resolved. Now we've got some smaller ones. We still want to, you know, make it faster and snappier and more efficient. But for the most part, we're getting kind of weird stuff.
Yeah, or in polish, like now being able to drag the workspaces around kind of dynamically or pin them too. That's a really nice feature. So if you clear out all the applications on a workspace and you don't want it to disappear on you, you can pin it now and have that workspace remain persistent.
Yeah, I like it because I think static workspaces are an important feature to have. But we wanted to try something new that was a bit more flexible, where the settings are also accessible to the user in the view that they're looking at. So as you open workspaces, if you hover over a workspace, you can click the pin button, and that workspace, regardless of whether it has a window on or not, will stay there. If you unpin a workspace in between two and you remove the applications from it, it'll go away. So it makes it really easy to have as many as you'd like. And it also has the flexibility of a dynamic workspace at the end. So you're not actually trapped into four. Let's say you pin three, and you have your fourth workspace that's not pinned. If you put Windows on that one, it'll add another one after it for you. So it has more flexibility than just, I want to be stuck on four. I don't know if we can make everyone happy, but I think it's going to be an easier feature for most people to use, and hopefully we don't offend too many people that really want just four. Right? We'll see.
So I noticed, you know, when you're out about these days, because when I saw you at Scale, you're really Cosmic forward as a company. You're really there. You know, even the booth branding was very Cosmic forward. How's the hardware business going? I imagine it's tricky times, but is business still doing okay?
Tariffs are tricky for everyone.
Right, I have to figure, yeah.
Yeah, our industry is obviously affected by the tariffs. The 5,000 NVIDIA GPUs were coming out right before the tariffs hit. And And the prices when they were coming out were actually pretty good. Like I thought for the first time, okay, they're not raking us over the coals here with the NVIDIA GPUs right now. Like I mean, they accelerated, you know, price accelerated quite a bit over the last few years. But I thought, oh, okay, this looks pretty good. And we had some of our vendors like PNY. We get our 5090s from PNY, 5080s from PNY. And they said, okay, we're going to have them in April. They said, all right, we're going to have them for you by the end of April. You're good. We're solid. Here's pricing and everything. And we said, okay, all right, we're going to offer these to our customers so they can pre-order, and then we'll get them by the end of April and ship them. Well, Liberation Day happened, and they said, we're not going to deliver those GPUs.
Oh.
And by the way, we can't give you that price. And so
there goes all your planning, huh?
So you don't know price or date at that point?
At that point, we didn't know price or dates, but we honored our... Now we do. We've got new pricing. It was more expensive than it was. There's a story that was told to me that I don't really like where it's going, but it's that computing is going to become more selective, which is kind of the opposite of what I hope for as a person that thinks computer science is really important. Like, things are getting more expensive. These GPUs have cost like $3,000 for a CPU, for a GPU. It was $2,400 before. It's not a trend that I'm very excited about for like deciding. It used to be you'd go finance your computer because it was, your computer cost in today's dollars, maybe it was $10,000 or something. And so you pay for it over a year, but not everybody had a computer. Now everybody has a computer. Are we turning to the times when not everyone could have the latest things? I don't like it.
Yeah, you're choosing between the used car or part of a used car and your NVIDIA GPU.
I mean, it just really seems like it just sort of forces people to use services. You know, so if you can't afford a GPU, you're going to use a cloud service.
Yeah.
And all the downsides that come with that, I suppose, like data collection and whatnot. Yeah, maybe... Maybe it swings the other way. You know, we see both AMD and Intel integrating neural processors like Apple did with their M series. Maybe those become more accessible and can do some of those tasks.
Right.
One would hope. Yeah. I fear about that too, because I've essentially been priced out of the GPU market, and I would love to play with this local AI stuff. So, you know, we're talking like maybe we get one GPU for Jupyter Broadcasting, we put it in a shared system, and we all use that one GPU. instead of just each workstation getting a GPU or something like that, which you would have done a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is tricky.
All that being said, especially our desktop stuff, another thing happened during this. We kind of saw the writing on the wall that it's somewhat bipartisan that competing with China is, it's not just a Republican thing, just a Democrat thing. It seems to be bipartisan. So we saw that writing on the wall. So we had to accelerate this, though. Our laptops were being manufactured by Odium in China. But, of course, tariffs of 145% make them, like, impossible.
Yeah.
And so we shifted our manufacturing in the first quarter to Taiwan. And in doing that, we were able to kind of reduce the tariffs and kind of get ourselves out of the way of that political battle that we aren't really... That's their thing to fight.
It
Our thing is open
while.
Source.
You're trying to make open source hardware.
That's what we care about. So that's okay. So we were able to shift our manufacturing there.
That doesn't sound like a small thing to do.
It was considerable, and the cost and effort. And then we didn't have. And then that meant a longer gap between when the new laptops came out.
Right.
So now things are, I'm seeing it both with NVIDIA 5000 series. It's starting to smooth out supply, and it's starting to smooth out. I'm starting to see it with our laptops too. That supply is starting to smooth out. So
that's good.
A few more weeks a couple more weeks, a few more weeks, and we're going to be back to full strength.
That's good to hear. So you mentioned you've been traveling a lot. You've done a lot of these events. I don't remember you bringing the family to many of them. Is that something you're doing more these days, sort of a work-life balance, an opportunity kind of thing? What's your thoughts there? As somebody who also travels a lot and does a lot of things, I'm just curious what you think.
Well,
and how it's working.
for this one, my kids are on spring break. Spring break is very different where I live up in the mountains by a ski resort. And so it's winter for like 6 or 7 months a year. So our spring break is much later than most places. cool thing about that is it's really cheap to go Disney. There's nobody there. So we're on the shoulders, you know? But in this case, Linux Fest Northwest, I just happened to be on their spring break, so I got to bring them with me. Spent a couple of days in Seattle, come up here. And I'd love bringing, like, if you have the opportunity to take your kids while you're doing a presentation or do a talk or something like that, I like bringing them. One talk I did in Boulder, my son came up and, he asked if he could demo.
Amazing.
Well, first he asked me a lot of hard questions. I'm like, come on, son.
You're supposed to be my inside man here.
Yeah, what's going on here? Then I was showing him the theming in Cosmic. He's like, can I do a theme? And then he came up and did this canary yellow blue theme. And it was great. He went to SELF with me, Southeast Linux Fest. And we went to a baseball game out there. And then he watched the presentation, got to be part of the community and see it. So every chance I have with family, we do.
Yeah, and I think it helps them makes it kind of real too, you know, because a lot of the technology stuff is sort of more theoretical and discussed, and it's online. So you bring it into the real life, and it's like, oh, I get a little bit better picture of what Dad does.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, thank you for taking the time to come and chat with us. It's always good to catch up with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good fest.
Booster Gray.
Well, it turns out even though we're doing crazy things, traveling around, moving, like, I don't know, the whole studio to a different location and streaming from a different city, well, the boosts still keep coming in, and we have some ballers this week.
Ooh, and it looks like our baller booster, I think for the first time, is Mr. Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson!
Who comes in with 37,222 sats.
It's almost ducks, but something else
in there, too.
Yeah, maybe like the eagle duck.
A little extra turd spin on it. It was great meeting you guys in person. Brent is much more handsome than he sounds on air.
And I sound very handsome.
I would kind of think you do. So I think that means, does that just mean we're uggos?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Did Church even say hi to us?
No.
We didn't get the name.
You guys had to go to the fest to see people. I think you missed that part.
That's our bad.
And then Turd follows up. I meant to ask you guys, if NixOS and the Forks disappeared, what distro would you switch to as a daily driver?
Oh, man.
I assume like Forks means like geeks and stuff,
mm-hmm,
right? Like,
I think so.
Similar enough.
I think that for the sake of this, we just write those all off.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like my honest answer would be Fedora, because I'm actually running Fedora on this laptop.
You're already doing it. Keener.
That seems like that'd be a pretty good one.
Hey, we're both doing Plasma NixOS over here. I don't know what you brought.
Well, you know, somebody, I don't know who, Wes, convinced me I should try Asahi Fedora on this thing. I just couldn't remember who that was. Yeah.
Okay, so you're in the Fedora camp.
I think I'm going to go the Fedora,
especially because you're a GNOME guy now, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, Arch has an appeal.
Yes.
I was very happy with Arch for many years, but here I am, and this has been I think the same install since Fedora 40, and I'm now on Fedora 42, and it's Asahi Fedora at that. So I've done three release upgrades now on this same
install.
You're
committed.
Yeah, and it's been working really well. So I think I'd have to go with that.
That makes sense. Yeah, I was debating, you know, just in my head right now, Arch makes sense. Arch is what I was kind of on before. I mean, a whole bunch of things, right, for the show, but it has that similar, you got lots of fresh updates, right? You pretty much can install whatever you want. It doesn't have a lot of the Nix magic, but, you know, Pac-Man is simple and quick
AOR.
And easy to use. You've got the AOR and package builds, and
yeah,
you can pretty much make it work. And it kind of shares, again, that what Nix has, I think, which is like a community of hackers who figure those things out, right? They're like taking apart the deb file to turn it into a AOR package. But
yeah, that's true.
Part of me wonders, probably, right? Like, because I know Arch and I want to learn new stuff, I'd probably have to be playing with something bootsy, right? It'd probably be like a Bluefin something.
Yeah.
I think that might be it.
Bluefin would be interesting. They should make Bluefin Asahi Edition. What about you? Is the Arch pull strong? Would you go back to your Arch lover? Would you go back to Seuss?
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. I think my curiosity with these questions gets me in trouble. Because I always want to, like, oh, I got to try that new thing over there. I don't have much experience with.
Do you remember how overdue he is for his Gentoo challenge?
Oh, my goodness.
I was hoping that wouldn't come up. Oh, no. Wait, this says I get to choose.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Yet, yeah.
Oh,
not the audience,
okay.
So. I think I would want to dip my toe into some image-based Linux distributions. I don't have very much experience with those. Some people I know have been telling me it's super great. I would imagine there are some problems you can't predict until you get into it.
Yeah.
So I think, but I'm not too sure which version I would try, so I would be open to some suggestions.
Does anybody else, maybe show of hands, do you guys have a backup distro in your mind? Like, if you ever had to leave your distro, is this something you think about?
You know, they finally canceled Debian
you
forever.
You do? A couple of you do? Only a couple of you, huh? Okay. I think Turd's got me thinking about this now, and I'm wondering if I don't know about my Fedora answer. I'm curious what the listeners at home, what your backup distro is and what your primary distro is.
And you're just not saying Linux Mint because you're embarrassed? Like, I don't get it.
It works great. It works really good. Thank you. Thank you, Turd. It was good seeing you. Well, I suppose. I didn't get to.
Vicariously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brent's hogging all the Turd. The Dudabai boosts in with 22,222 sats.
Things are looking up for old McDuck.
Live boost? Oh, wow.
Hey-o, thank you for the live boost.
B-O-O-S-T.
That means our live stream must actually be working today, which I wasn't entirely sure about.
I think so.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, appreciate it, dude.
We also have a boost here from Rod Palmer Hoddle, which that's the first time I recognize them here, so maybe a first-time booster. That's for 5,000 sats.
Hey, hashtag 40 hours of podcast a week. That's what that is.
Oh, I thought that was like a code for some sort of like oil specification.
You guys are not listening to enough podcasts, clearly. Because if you were listening to enough podcasts, you would know what hashtag 40 HPW means. Mm.
See? That's full-time podcast listening.
I know. And I'm doing it while I'm doing shows, so catch up, boys. Wow. Catch up. You're not doing it right if you're not doing 40 hours of podcast. What are you doing, watching YouTube? I hope not.
No, not yet. Tiny's not at all.
No, I hope not. We also got a boost from Uncle Joe NQ.
Boost.
He came in with 5,000 sats. Says, thanks for all your shows. First time boost, long time listener, and he's got a postal code here, Wes. Ooh.
Did I bring the map?
You notice it's called a postal code here, not one of those zip things.
You want to try the digital map, Wes? I mean, we've never done a digital map before. We always have a physical map, but I think we should try it.
Yes, zip code is a better deal.
I'm a little nervous, Wes. See if you can find it on your digital map there, okay? It still makes map noises.
It does, yeah. Well, I program those in.
Where are you keeping that?
It's in my back pocket. What do you think?
Okay. All right. All right, so the zip code is 97200.
Well, it's not a zip code. It would seem.
They suggested right here that it's not a zip code.
Yeah, postal code. Okay, and we've got a little clue.
What's
right?
the difference Let's between see. A zip code and a postal code?
Well, one is U.S. only, and one is maybe a generic term for...
Sounds like tomato, tomato, pop, soda. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a difference. I'll tell you what. And he gave you a little hint here.
See, the thing is...
Yeah. Are you effing looking it up right now on what it means?
Well, no, I just mean, there's separate databases. They haven't put this on the blockchain yet, Chris. Okay, I have to go to separate systems. Each one maintains their own proprietary protocol for postal code lookups that the map has to do analog interface to.
Yeah, I know.
But this would appear to be postal code 97200 corresponds to Fort de France, capital city of Martinique.
Really?
Wow.
You know what? He did hint it would be a French-speaking area.
Yeah, and a Caribbean island.
I think that's the first time we hear from a listener from Martinique.
I think Martinique meetup. That's got to be on the list.
That should be a thing. Thank you, Uncle Joe.
Let us know if we got it right. Zach Attack attacks us with 5,432 sats. I actually took my laptop to the latest version of GNOME with... Bluefin.
Speaking.
I do like GNOME, and I think it actually has some advantages over Plasma, with the exception of, for some reason, the way they handle touchpads is just strange.
Oh, really?
I'd like to be able to toggle it on and off with a keyboard shortcut, or maybe have the touchpad turn off when a mouse is plugged in.
Yes. Yeah.
I ended up writing a script that lets me toggle it on and off with a keyboard shortcut. In Plasma.
It's just an option.
That's just an option. Yeah, doesn't that really just sum up
the whole thing? It's true of so many things.
No, hold up. How is this not a GNOME extension, boys? How is this? This has got to be a GNOME extension.
What? So you want to install some JavaScript that will break the next time I upgrade my operating system?
Well, it might be superior to writing a Python script that the dude has to like homebrew every time he wants to,
you know. You like JavaScript more than Python now?
No, don't put me in that box.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, so there is a couple of different.
Oh yeah, okay.
Trackpad. What would you search for? Because there's so many GNOME extensions.
Or maybe maybe folks can boost in and tell us how they solved this.
Okay, what if he pivoted and he went to something that just does mouse pointers, like mouse trails in Windows 3.1, and just was happy with it. That's what I would do.
Maybe some sort of UDEV rule detects the mouse being plugged in and then kills the touchpad.
As long as it turns on mouse trails.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy. All right. Thank you and good luck. Let us know how it goes, ZackAttack, with your custom solution. But you're right. It is nice to be able to just do it in Plasma.
We've got a boost here from Bravo. 5,555 sats.
Boy, they are doing a lot with Mayo these days.
Hey, Jordan Bravo here. You mentioned that installed Flatpak apps would be erased when doing a Fedora reinstall.
Right, the new feature in Fedora 32.
Right, the whole refresh your thing. You want to just... okay.
Well, that's probably because you were installing them system-wide. Try installing Flatpak apps with the --user flag,
that's
which
smart.
Installs them in the home directory and shouldn't be affected by that reinstall process.
Right, because as Neil was telling us, right, it uses ButterFS subvolume, so it can just sort of... or roll back to the fresh state. So, yeah, you lose it if it's on that partition or that volume, but if you've got it in your home.
Jordan Bravo coming in with the big brain solution there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever actually used the --user flag.
I've never installed the Flatpak as --user, ever.
But it seems like a great option.
Why not?
Yeah.
It might as well. I mean, I don't have anybody else log into my system.
Maybe it should be the default.
Maybe it should be the default.
There's probably some limitations that we're not aware of.
Like if you install it by Discover or by GNOME software, how is it not the default? I don't know.
Probably some janky set UID somewhere.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good idea. Thank you, Jordan. Podbun comes in with a row of ducks. That's 2,222 sats. Loved the episode. The clips of you guys gaming were great. I am for more gaming content. I got Trimu. Probably not it.
Trimu?
Thank you. A couple of months ago, and I love it. No barriers to gaming, just straight into my ROMs. I ended up wiping them to move over my favorite ones. That's kind of what I've been thinking about doing. I love that I can just pop it in my bag, and I don't have to worry about running down my phone to play retro games.
Yeah. Trimu, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like a Switch.
Smart Pro 128-gig handheld game console with preloaded games. $99.99, it says here.
Well, that's cooler than what I got.
It does. Yeah, it's got joysticks.
And it's like the same price.
It kind of looks like a PSP.
Yeah, it does look more like a PSP than a Switch.
And there's no, like, turtle shell or whatever that thing was. Soccer ball?
That is, the stupid
soccer
ball.
They got Pikachu stickers that come with it if you want.
Okay, so what's this thing called again?
Trimui.
The Trimu.
Trimui?
Smart Pro. Mm-hmm. Damn, that actually looks really slick. I'm a little bit jealous there.
You've been doing it wrong this whole time.
Yeah, Power VR, All Winner A113 Plus, Type C. It's got a Mood LED, RGB double joystick, Mood Light.
That's way better than a...
The real question. Will it talk to Home Assistant, though? If not, I'm not buying it.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
I have an observation. From the last two boosts, it seems our audience is much smarter than we are.
Yeah, they did. They big brained us again twice in a row. I agree.
Bug-eyed Stormtrooper boosts in with 5,000 sats.
This is a tasty burger.
I enjoyed the gaming episode, but it does seem just a bit out of place on Linux Unplugged. So maybe should it have been a Jupiter Extra?
Never.
Anyway, keep on keeping on.
No, maybe. Actually, I think we'll put it in the launch if we ever do it again. I think that's what the consensus has been.
Yeah, okay. Launches have a sort of, there's like a pun somewhere in there around launching the game.
Every 4 or 5 years, we get the itch.
To do a little game?
Yeah.
Just to prove that our Linux computers can still do it.
Yeah, that's part of it. Can we actually make it happen?
It also feels like one of those things, right, where it's just so long, it was a thing we couldn't hardly even talk about, or if we did, it was to talk about it in an embarrassed way, because it's like, oh, yeah, we all agreed not to talk about it, because it doesn't work very
well,
or we have a secret Windows PC.
It's also like a low-key way to just, like, demo a couple of cool stacks on Linux now.
True.
In a way. Yeah. But I agree. Thank you, Bug-Eyed. Nice to hear from you.
We have a boost here from Otterbrain, 5,000 sats, simply saying, thanks for that coverage.
Well, let's hear it, good buddy.
Thank you, Otterbrain. Appreciate it. Odyssey Westra, who's also here at Linux Fest Northwest, sent in a raw ducks. Live meep. And
we call them meeps now.
I kind of like it. I think meep is a good term. He's not here to claim it, though.
No,
so
that's true.
It's okay. We did see him last night at dinner.
He was here earlier. I think probably dipped out for another talk.
Maybe another live meep.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
You never know. Thank you, everybody who boosts into the show and supports episodes directly by boosting. This is episode 612, which is a cool number, 612.
I'll just pull up, because we do it sometimes. So we got 300 sats from Galactic Flux, because I like that name, and it's just a good message. B-O-O-S-T.
Boost! Love it. Thank you, everybody also who streams those sats, 24 of you collectively, kind of a low amount. I think one of our nodes might have been down. Something's weird here, boys. Only 17,473 sats on the stream.
Did people stop listening to the show? Did we not publish last week?
Oh, that might have been it. Maybe we forgot to publish. Let's publish this one.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Combined, we have a total of 107,648 sats for this episode, and we appreciate everybody who supports the show. You can do it, too, with something like Fountain FM, or you can do it directly with lots of apps over at podcastapps.com. Something Wes is going to be talking about, some of this a little bit. But there's self-hosted options, there's hosted options, there's all kinds of ways to support the show directly and get your message read on the air. We'll have links in the show notes to make it extra easy. And thank you to our members as well. We really appreciate you. Okay, now, the pick this week, 80% of the reason we picked it is because of the name, but it is a really good pick, okay? But I'm just being totally transparent with everybody. This week, our pick of the week is Sausage. Sausage is a terminal word forming game written in Bash. And it's under the Mozilla Public License version 2. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but it just had a release 7 hours ago.
Oh, yeah, it's actively.
They noticed, like, we went to see the bill. Oh.
Yeah, so Sausage is a terminal word forming game written in Bash. It actually has a nice little UI. Which, can you turn your screen around, Brent? So the
sure.
It looks really kind of fun.
You would not think it was written in Bash, actually.
No,
it's, I know. I mean, you know, friends of the show have made some pretty incredible Bash games, and people do it, but.
It looks surprisingly good for something in your terminal. It's really a clean-looking word puzzle game. That's,
and I guess the idea is like you kind of have to make words out of adjacent letters in this grid.
Oh, no.
But it has like VI key bindings. It computes statistics while you run. You can also kind of, you know, reshuffle things. You can kind of, it's got basic commands to go back or try again. I guess it's based off of a game called Bookworm.
Okay.
Look at this. Isn't that good 2003 energy?
Mm-hmm. On PC or Mac, CD-ROM available.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
Yeah. Oh, from PopCap Games.
Yeah, PopCap Games. So
oh,
now we've
man.
Got a, what, a Mozilla public licensed version that you don't even have to install.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, for some reason, an install script.
Really? What, is it,
yeah.
what
Let's
does
see
it
what
actually
it does.
Install?
I don't know.
A shell script?
Because it's just a Bash file.
Yeah. I'd be curious to know what it actually installs. Okay, we're looking at it right now. It looks like it moves it, makes it executable.
Okay. Okay, it just stashes a whole bunch of. It's got like dictionary. It's
yeah.
got rules.
Yeah, and then
it's got a preferred editor there.
We have to trash this.
What
pick.
Is that preferred editor there, Wes? What does it say there in that script?
I think it says nano.
Yeah, it says nano, Wes. That says nano.
I hate that. I gotta fork it.
This is a great pick. I am 100% behind Sausage now. I was a little trepidatious at first. I'm like, I don't know, this is a great name. But no, now I'm loving it. Check out Sausage. We'll have it linked in the show notes.
I have a tiny side pick for Sausage.
You got an extra? Yeah.
Well, every time we run into the word sausage in a place that you don't expect it to be, I think of a YouTube channel that Wes has introduced to us a few times. Wes, can you give us a sense of what
yeah,
I'm talking
just,
about?
Yeah, just check out Ordinary Sausage. He's a, I don't know, let's say food alchemist who's turned, well, let's say he's managed to turn water into a sausage,
mm-hmm.
As well as what, scorpions,
yeah.
Several types of liquor, really almost anything except, you know, regular pork. Although, that too. So, yeah. Well, check out Ordinary Sausage if you like culinary madness.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You're welcome.
That's a wild side pick. But I do kind of love it. I'm just trying to figure out how he turns water into sausage.
Oh, you got to see it.
It's kind of great. You know how YouTube channels can develop their own lore? And
yeah.
So, there's sort of the in the lore for that channel, there's the pre-water sausage days and the post-water sausage days. Because the theory is it sort of broke his brain. And then the channel really took a turn.
Sort of like when the Cottonwood got into the studio.
That's right. Yeah.
Before
it's
Cottonwood.
It's never been the same.
Been the same after Cottonwood. And
server runs so much better.
That is weirdly true.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cat smells still not totally out, though. All right. So links to everything we talked about in the show notes. We want to hear your editors that we missed. And last but not least, we are getting very close to Home Assistant season. Both Wes and Brent are going to be deploying Home Assistants. I may refurb on mine a little bit. Mine's about 3 years old right now. So if we do something for theirs that I like a lot, I may end up redoing mine or something. Mine's working fine. So what I'm looking for is first-time Home Assistant setup tips. So if you're listening out there, you've set up Home Assistant before, and we can get some tips to the boys so that way that it starts out right. Also, we're looking for hardware recommendations for a mobile Home Assistant in Brent's van, because one of the very first projects before we fix the interior, before we wash the bed, before we probably put new oil in it, maybe just after we've gotten gas, we're installing a Home Assistant server in Brent's van. And so I'd love some tips for something that could maybe run off of DC or mobile. We're kind of thinking a Raspberry Pi, but maybe there's a better solution out there. People could boost that in and let us know too.
I'm curious as well, because having seen you over the past few years kind of go down your route, and I remember like you had a whole thing where one version of like an integration, I don't remember if it was Zigbee or Z-Wave, you know, like things changed, you architected it in one way. So I'm curious if folks have, you know, now that they've gone down the path, what would they do differently to like not get themselves painted into the corners that they have in the setup they have now?
Yeah, let us know. Send it in and we'll be talking about it very soon.
Coming in hot with the boost.
You can come in hot with your very own boost. Now, links to what we talked about today are at linuxunplugged.com/612. Of course, you can also join us when we do the show live. Make it a Tuesday on a Sunday, noon Pacific. Nope, 10 a.m. Pacific. Jeez, still don't have it down. You know what you should do? Don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. Go to jupiterbroadcasting.com/calendar or get a Podcasting 2.0 app. It's just in there automatically. Why are you listening to me? Why do you make me say it like this? God, I mess it up every time. Jeez.
Tuesdays, right?
Yeah, Tuesdays. Yeah, at 3 p.m. Yeah. All right, thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Linux Unplugged program, and we will see you right back here next Thursday.